60 days ago at this hour, many people in the greater Peoria region were coming out of their basements and other shelter areas to assess the wrath of Mother Nature. Many in Tazewell County found their homes were damaged, some seriously, others completely destroyed. The EF4 tornado that started in East Peoria hit its peak in Washington at a half mile wide with winds in excess of 190 miles an hour. Another tornado hit Pekin. In all, 22 twisters were on the ground Sunday, November 17th in the state. I'm Tanya Kuntz. We're marking the 60-day recovery point with a live conversation with the leaders of those three communities. Over the next hour, we'll also be taking your questions. Call us at 309-677-2760. You can also email us and find us on Facebook and Twitter. First, this news. This is Rebuilding in Central Illinois, 60 days after the November 17th tornadoes. I'm Tanya Kuntz with co-host Alex Rusciano. This is a live broadcast from our studios at Peoria Public Radio on 89.9 HD1 WCBU. You can hear us live via stream of this broadcast at peoriapublicradio.org. Our guest for the first half hour of our broadcast are Washington Mayor Gary Menier and City Administrator Tim Gleason. We're taking your questions during the next hour. You can call us at 309-677-2760. Again, 309-677-2760. Send us an email at wcbunews@bradley.edu. You can also find us on the WCBU Facebook page and tweet us at WCBU Radio. Welcome, Mayor. Welcome, City Administrator. Thank you both for taking the time to be here today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's open with this question. What's the most important thing people affected by the November 27th disaster can do for themselves right now for their personal recovery? Mayor, you want to start?
Absolutely. Obviously, the word recovery is the mode we're in. One, we want to make sure they've signed up for FEMA for individual assistance. Want to make sure they're still working with their insurance companies. And obviously, the main point I want to stress is I hope they're working with City Hall, getting their plans put back together to rebuild. And our community's just been remarkable. And as we continue to move forward, I can't say enough for our citizens and how they're looking forward instead of looking back at what happened.
Absolutely. We should also take a moment to note that while we are paying very close attention to Tazewell County communities today, the fact is not lost on us that 24 tornadoes total, I believe, were on the ground in the state of Illinois on November 17th, and many, many people throughout Woodford County were also impacted. And I believe there were people in Peoria County who were also doing cleanup after the storm that day. This is a day historically that will be remembered as a very dangerous day in the state of Illinois. So we definitely want to make sure that people know that we are aware, and that while we're talking about Tazewell County today mostly, we are very aware that Woodford County was also greatly impacted, Morton in particular.
Correct.
Yeah. Tim, do you want to address what you, from the city administrator's position in Washington, see as the most important thing people can do for themselves at this moment in time?
I think, and we've seen this in our community meetings, is the opportunity, the communication opportunity. There's a lot of questions out there, and we've had the opportunity through the community meetings, interaction with staff, mostly phone calls or people coming in, is giving city staff the opportunity to respond to what their concerns are. So I appreciate questions being asked, and we have the opportunity to fill in the blanks for them so that we can make the recovery, as the mayor just mentioned, as easy and as smooth as possible, knowing that it won't be. But the communication component is one that we control and trying to do our best.
In the recovery process, the communication has probably been the biggest factor in connecting people with the information and the resources they might need.
Absolutely. Early on, we realized without power and without a lot of communications. People no longer had homes to go back to, you know, had left the area, maybe been living in nearby communities with friends or family members. And so the first 3 or 4 days were very unfortunate from a communication standpoint. And we realized that, but we tried the best we could. And have we made some mistakes along the way? Absolutely. We'll make more, but everything we do is on behalf of our great citizens.
And once again, if you just tuned in here, this is Rebuilding in Central Illinois, the 60-day recovery point after the November 17th tornadoes. Today is day 59. I'm Alex Rusciano, joined with Tanya Kuntz, and we're taking your questions during the next hour. You can call us at 309-677-2760. Send us an email at wcbunews@bradley.edu. You can also find us on our WCBU Facebook page, and also you can tweet us at WCBU Radio. And something that's been talked about, and Tanya's touched on this, and you two just kind of encapsulated it, that today's day 59. Tomorrow's going to be the 2-month anniversary since the tornado. Going forward, it seems like there's been kind of an up and down situation. You've worked to clear debris. You've gotten approved for individual assistance for FEMA, but yet just last week found out about public assistance being denied, and you'll be appealing that. Just from your perspective as mayor and a city administrator, what is the focus going forward in terms of recovery? I know debris still needs to be removed. What are the top things from a city perspective that's going to be the focus?
Sure. Well, first of all, I don't like using the word anniversary for the event. I'm looking at November 18th of 2014 as a celebration in our community for recovery effort, because that's the day the recovery started, was the day after. Debris removal, obviously, is the most important thing. We promised our citizens, and Tim and I talk about this all the time, a November tornado is not a rebuilding possibility quickly because of the weather. We've had 16 inches plus of snow, very, very cold weather, and it slowed the process down. But we want to make sure the attitudes and enthusiasm stay with our citizens to get the debris completely removed, because without the debris gone, we won't rebuild. And we understood that from Moore and from Joplin, and the road to recovery is debris removal. So that's been our main focus. And I'll let Tim talk about the FEMA denial, if you would.
Absolutely.
We actually are looking at this as an opportunity. The numbers that were captured on the submission through IEMA were captured the first week of December. And all of us locally, we've actually, the community leaders and the various city managers, county administrator, we've met to discuss what our strategy was last month and the original submission. And then we just did meet this morning trying to plan our strategy for the appeal. So really, we're looking at the appeal as our real first opportunity to tell the true story for the community. Accurate costs up to this point, forecasting what the costs are going to be going forward, and submit an accurate preliminary disaster assessment to PDA.
What happens if the federal disaster money doesn't come through for Washington, right? The individual disaster money is already here, right? It's helping people in the moment, or the aim is to be able to connect people to it in the moment. But from a community perspective, there is additional federal funding that Harrisburg didn't get that, right? And it was difficult on them in that process. FEMA says you have to spend, how much money is it that you have to spend before?
Well,
statewide,
the number is $17.8 million.
But that would be statewide, right? But yet for the city of Washington that shouldered a lot of the debris removal with your own public works department and the assistance of other public works departments across the region and the ongoing recovery, what happens if that portion of the funding doesn't come through?
Well, I'm a very positive person, and Tim knows this. I feel very good about the appeal process. I think the numbers that we gave to IEMA and FEMA on the day, I believe day 7, was pretty preliminary. We really didn't have a good grasp of what costs we were going to that we'd incurred to date, plus what we were going to have 6 months to a year out. We've got a lot better hold. We've actually hired a consultant that is helping just, you know, Tazewell County and some of the other counties also. So it's a process. I've said from day one, we're not going to bankrupt this community because of this disaster. And is it a possibility of bonded money at a low interest rate to help pay back over time? You know, people talk about sales tax and property tax. This is not the time to be raising property tax or sales tax to cover a disaster. We want people to stay in our community, not leave our community. So to me, as an elected official, that would be the last thing on the table for my standpoint, and I believe the council would feel the same way.
Once again, if you've been joining us, this is Rebuilding in Central Illinois. It's recognizing the 60-day tornado recovery point. And this is a live conversation with city leaders of the hardest hit communities. And Washington Mayor Gary Menier, as well as City Administrator Tim Gleason, are joining us right now. And we're taking your questions during the next hour. Give us a call, 309-677-2760. And you can email us at wcbunews@bradley.edu. You can also find us on Facebook, and you can tweet us your questions at WCBU Radio. And one of the things that's been touched on, and Washington's had many community meetings over the past 2 months, a ton, and one of the things that you've hammered home, but an issue that seems to come up again and again, is people who have an initial denial letter from FEMA. And one of the first things, Tim, I remember, this was about a month and a half ago, that you mentioned during one of the first meetings is reapply. Can you just talk about if someone does get a denial letter throughout any of this process, what should people know about going through the process, applying, reapplying, et cetera?
Yeah, well, let's just say that that letter that people receive, that denial letter, it's lengthy. And if I'm a person whose home has been damaged or destroyed and I'm trying to get kids moving all in the same direction and keep my career moving, and I filed for FEMA and I get a very lengthy letter that has a lot of legal language in it, I'm probably working from a fairly overwhelmed spot in life to begin with in my own head, right? And if I get that letter, I would think that I would be fairly overwhelmed by it personally. And so let's make sure that we lay that landscape out there when we talk about the fact that you receive the letter that says denial on the top, and then there's a lot of legal language before you may get to what you need to know, right?
I agree. The process, if you do receive a denial letter, is not necessarily to reapply, but to follow the next steps, if you will, that are spelled out on the letter. We've heard from residents very clearly that the process is cumbersome, can be frustrating, but it is the process, and there is light at the end of the tunnel. And we encourage everyone to, one, sign up, as the mayor said, at the top of the hour, and then also to be persistent. You are eligible, most likely, for something. And the fact that you might be well insured does not mean that you are taking away from somebody else. You are entitled to this. And please persist with the process.
And to that point, when what Tim's talking about, you don't need to reapply. You're in the system. Once you've filled out that first paperwork, you're in the system. You're part of the FEMA process. The second part of that process could be an SBA loan. And if that's a failed process, then you go back to FEMA. And you're right, and I've not afraid to tell FEMA this, and I have. Sometimes the denial letter needs to be a little bit more explanatory, because if I'm reading it the same way that you mentioned, I would probably say I'm denied and I'm going to move on with my life. But that's not the end of the road. It can be a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of red tape. But they are doing due diligence. One of the ladies that called me the weekend before the community meeting, she asked me to get at the community meeting. I said, don't stop pursuing it. Find out what your status is. And that's what Deanna Frazier keeps telling me from FEMA. Right. Check on your status. And I got a call from her last night, and she received a check. So
nice.
Very, very pleased.
So it's really important that people, if, number one, they haven't registered yet, to go to FEMA.gov to do that. It's also important that people know that Tazewell County has, I believe, the only remaining, it's one of two remaining open disaster recovery centers in the state. That is at the Festival of Lights building. That facility is closing, not this Saturday, but next Saturday. If people are really overwhelmed about that letter or don't understand it or don't really know what they need to do next, there are people sitting there today at that disaster recovery center who can assist with that. Take the letter to them and help. They'll help you sort through it, correct?
Correct. But once the DRC closes, that doesn't mean that they're done.
Right, of course.
There's still numbers. There's people they can still call. So just the in-person, face-to-face will go away. But the process, they're in the system, and that's ongoing. I think it's up to a year.
Okay. So the other thing that we can communicate is the Peoria Area Bar Association is offering a free consultation this Saturday, as in 3 days from now. If you want to make use of that or think that it might be beneficial for you to make use of that, you need to sign up. That number is Central Illinois area code 309. The number is 674-6049.
And once again, this is rebuilding in Central Illinois. This is recognizing that 60-day mark after the November 17th tornadoes, especially hard-hitting communities, many communities in Central Illinois, including, of course, Washington, Pekin, and East Peoria, and Washington Mayor Gary Menier, as well as City Administrator Tim Gleason, are joining us. And, you know, feel free to give us a call if you have any questions. That number, again, 309-677-2760. Also, email us at wcbunews@bradley.edu and find us on Facebook, and you can tweet us your questions at WCBU Radio. If we could just go to each of you, too, another issue that people are concerned about in terms of long-term recovery has been property taxes. And I remember, Tim, this was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago when you officially announced that about 47%, nearly half of Washington's EAV, or Equalized Assessed Property Value, was gone during the tornado. And subsequently, talking with the Tazewell County assessor, you know, we were finding out that, you know, with that three-year process, that three-year period that property taxes are, they're looking at a pretty significant hit for this coming year. But 2014, even though the numbers are murky, it looks like 2014 could be – the city could see a significant decrease in property tax values. And then depending on rebuilding, 2015 could be a little bit better. Can we just go to each of you, and for those listening, after a community is so hard hit, what does this mean for the city in terms of financial decisions it has to make regarding property taxes? Obviously, schools could be very hard hit by that. How is the city approaching this amid all of this FEMA communications and answering residents long term? What about property taxes if someone's listening and they're wondering about that?
Well, I think first this year they've received a 12% discount on their taxes, those that were affected. And really you look at 15-16 is going to be the 2 years that it'll actually come into play, because now if you've lost everything, you'll pay taxes just on a lot, just like before you built the home or the person that built the home. And then year two, you will get a partial tax bill because of your rebuilding the process. And then until it's occupied, fully occupied, then that full year of taxes. So it actually could be a 2 or 3 year process. We're a home rule community, so we're based on sales tax as a city. We're still going to lose about $600,000 from this out of 1.3 that we collect from property tax. The schools and the park districts and library taxing districts will really suffer the majority of it, because they're a more larger portion of the tax bill. Mm-hmm. And Tim can speak to what we're going to do as a city to moving forward.
Yes, it was 47% of our EAV was impacted to varying degrees. It's not like we necessarily lost 47% of our EAV. And that does make up approximately 6% of the city's overall budget. Hmm. But the other 94% that impacts other governing bodies in our area, it definitely has an impact on how we approach our budget process, which actually is right now. Our budget year runs from May 1st to April 30th, and we've actually changed our process for the preparation this year, where internally we're still doing the same as we always have done in preparation for the 14-15 budget, but working with council. We're not going to have weekly or every council meeting. We would have updates on smaller portions of the budget. Instead, sometime in March, I believe it's March 17th, we're going to have a longer working session that gives us as city staff 2 additional months to capture what the impact. And it's not going to be 100%, but it gives me 2 additional months to capture what the true impact is to the city and what it means on the budget.
Okay, so that's something going forward that is certainly a change, but it seems like a needed one given the disaster, that the city needs to change the way that it approaches that, because it just sounds like that's the more efficient way to go.
Given the circumstances, we think so.
Okay. Mm. It stands to be challenging, no matter what, going forward.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when you work on city budget, when you take a certain portion of the budget and work at it just during council meetings, I think with everything else we have going on, it's probably better to set a day aside and try to work out the budget that way this year around, for sure.
People need to know that we are taking questions. We would love to hear from you. 677-2760. This strikes on two major levels for a community, Washington being the hardest hit community in the state of Illinois on November 17th. It strikes at the city governance level and what it means to city government, your municipality, including the education system and public works and that area. And then it impacts the individual. A lot of individuals in Washington have private homeowners insurance or renters insurance. The apartment complex Georgetown Common was hit pretty hard. And those folks, it's amazing to me that driving there and seeing it, that no more people were any more further injured. There were injuries that came out of there. That was one of the first triage points. But for people who live three stories up with no real basement to get into, man, that was pretty profound that as many people walked out of that okay as did on a Sunday morning around 11 o'clock. Mayor, you look like you have something you want to say there.
Well, the first two or three days, everybody was asking. I mean, and currently we are at three deaths, and obviously it's three too many.
Of course,
For their loved ones and for our community. But, you know, we talk about being a faith-based community, and when something like this happens and there is, you know, the injuries that we did have from an apartment complex like that, if you look at the debris in the home areas, also the subdivisions, it's remarkable that we didn't have more serious injuries than the three deaths. But it just, you know, I kept saying, and I get a text message from Mayor Artis reminding me that God is good. And I really feel that there was a lot of guardian angels in Washington on that Sunday, helping residents get to safety and take cover.
Talk about where the situation with Georgetown stands right now, quickly. We have just about 30 seconds.
They're getting the assistance that they need. There were some miscommunications that they felt that the city needed to send a condemnation letter. We were not going to do that because we didn't own the property. The property owner has done that, and I understand the people are in the process now. And I think the resident that called me last night that received a check was one of those residents that was not allowed access in the apartment.
Okay, so that is moving forward. FEMA had done some work. The FEMA representatives on the ground here had done some work to be able to get inspectors in over the last couple of weeks to be able to get people through that process a little smoother.
Correct.
Or at all, really.
Correct. FEMA and the Tri-United, which is the property owners for Georgetown Apartments. There was a little delay. Communication between the two entities unfortunately did affect some of the residents. But over the last week and a half, that's been corrected, and the residents are getting the relief that they deserve.
Okay. We're coming to the close of the first half hour of our program, Rebuilding in Central Illinois, the 60-day point after the tornadoes on November 17th. Washington Mayor Gary Menier is our guest, as well as City Administrator Tim Gleason. You guys have taken the floor and worked really hard to answer questions and stay as on the front line as possible, and that must not have been easy. Must not have been easy. Thank you for taking the time to be here with us.
Thank you, and thank WCBU. And I know Alex was on the ground early on and was there, has been there every day helping get the story out. And I think, as we learned from Joplin Moore, you have to continue to tell your story, and if you need help, you have to ask for it. And your radio station's done a great job doing that for us. Thank you so much.
I agree. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking the time to be here today.
Thank you.
This is Rebuilding in Central Illinois, 60 days after the November 17th tornadoes. I'm Tanya Kuntz, along with co-host Alex Rusciano. This is a live broadcast from our studios at Peoria Public Radio at 89.9 HD WCBU. You can also hear a live stream of this broadcast at peoriapublicradio.org. Our guests for the second half an hour are Pekin Mayor Lori Barra and East Peoria Mayor Dave Mingus. We thank you both for taking the time to be here.
Thank you very much, Tanya, for having us.
We're also taking your questions. You can call us at 677-2760. 309 is the area code, 677-2760. You can also send us an email at wcbunews@bradley.edu. You can communicate with us on Twitter and, of course, Facebook. Now, the tornado that hit Washington started, Mayor Mingus, in your community.
That's correct.
And Mayor Barra, your community had an entirely different tornado.
Yes, we did. That's true.
And so give us some sense of status update of where both of your communities stand right now.
Pekin is... we've been very fortunate. We are probably very good. I know we're very good as far as the infrastructure goes. Roads are good. We are having houses that are now being rebuilt, and obviously there people are in the stages of dealing with insurance companies. But at this point, we're doing really well in Pekin.
And Mr. Mayor, as well in East Peoria, how are things going?
Well, we're doing well. Also, we still have. Some properties that exist that have not been torn down or demolished, which is a problem, but we have to give time for that. And we've actually extended what the city ordinance has described on the books, because we know it's a difficult situation, and we're working with people to make sure that it's the best that we can make it for them. But same as East Peoria as far as the infrastructure, we still have debris in many of the shall we say, wooded areas, ravines. Of course, you always look at debris in the neighborhoods first, and we took care of that as quickly as possible, but we still have some areas there that we need to look at.
And if you've just joined us here again, give us a call. Our phone number here is 309-677-2760. This is Rebuilding in Central Illinois. It is recognizing that a 60-day tornado recovery point that, of course, hit Washington and also East Peoria, Peak, and many communities in the region, and many communities responding to that as well.
East Peoria had some impact from the flooding earlier in the year. Can you talk a little bit about the landslide and from the flooding that happened earlier in the year? That definitely impacts the ongoing recovery process. The tornado impacted that ongoing recovery process.
It's been a tough year.
Difficult.
The flooding, and we incurred tremendous costs regarding that. Then, of course, the Caitlin Court, Sunrise Court, where we had residents that because of the water and all the rain, they lost the backyards to the point where those homes are uninhabitable right now. We're still looking at that situation. And then, of course, the tornado, which caused tremendous damage uninhabitable and total losses. I did the check. We're at 39 right now, which you know, in comparison to other communities, it's not that great. But when you lose 39 houses, that's still significant, and the people, you know, it definitely affected them.
39 houses in the tornado.
That's correct. That's that's uninhabitable or totally demolished, totally destroyed.
40 households is significant to those 40 people and your community as a whole. Caitlin Court, how is Caitlin Court doing right now? How are the folks there doing?
They have gone their own way. Still an area that we're looking at, still an area they're looking at, but it's pretty much on hold.
Okay.
And also, too, we were talking a little bit earlier in Washington, but if we could go to just each of you quick, and Mayor Barra, start with you. We were hearing a lot about residents and their interactions about individual assistance, going to the Disaster Recovery Center in East Peoria. I remember seeing you, Mayor Barra, at one of the meetings in Pekin as well. Can you just each briefly talk about the resident response? Where are affected residents right now? Are they getting the help that they need when they talk to city officials? Just the overall pulse, if you will, of residents 2 months later. Mayor Barra?
I think the residents in Pekin, the ones that we have heard from at City Hall, they are, you know, we're channeling them to where they need to go in order to get the help that they need to have. I think, as far as I can tell, most of the people that were affected have found places. I mean, they have obviously found places to be. Even when it happened, the night that it happened, I think there were only two people that took advantage of going to a shelter. So obviously they were people that had a support family group or church group that took them in.
And Mayor Mingus as well in East Peoria.
We've been very blessed from the onset. Family, friends have really picked up the ball as far as we did get hotel rooms for a few people. We may have had one or two folks in the shelter, but I go to shelter and it's like they're all gone. Everybody's found a place, and which was really amazing. Because you would think otherwise, but we're very fortunate that we have a close-knit community. And I think as far as the municipality is doing everything we can possibly do to help folks, I think anybody who has a need that we haven't heard of, we certainly would entertain their need. However, it's been an overwhelming response, almost to the point where people are so overwhelmed by the number of people who want to help them.
The outpouring.
Mm-hmm. And it's like they need to settle. For a while there, we just had to settle things down a bit so they knew where the need was or where the need is. And I think we're just coming to a point now where some of those needs are being recognized and being met in a different way perhaps than at the beginning.
But to your knowledge, everybody in each of your communities who was without housing or could not immediately get back into their homes, there's some sort of rebuilding that has to happen there before they can return. Everybody is, to your knowledge, taken care of.
It was really neat in one respect. We had two organizations that sponsored dinners for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And they really, they had prepared for 500 people. And I personally called a number of the folks that we knew of who had been affected. And very few people show for either one of those two Thanksgiving dinners. Mm-hmm. But when I called those people, they were so thankful that somebody thought of them. But they said, we have family, we have friends. And no offense, but we'd rather be there than at the high school or at the grade school eating a Thanksgiving dinner. So that kind of said it all, really.
Yeah, the family and friends really gathered around.
People at the mission had great meals that day.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Mayor Barra, your community probably had collectively the second most compounded damage. It was the city of Washington, Gifford, per capita, definitely had the most damage because it's a smaller community and it was hit. But Pekin, then probably not that it was a contest that day about who could be harmed.
No, we didn't want to win the contest.
No, absolutely no. But Pekin probably sustained significant damage as far as property tax base goes and allowing people to recover from that. At the same time, your city services have to move forward, including the education system that will probably be impacted by the property taxes that will go away down the road.
That's true. Somewhat that will happen, but as people rebuild and that tax base will build back up, and that will make a difference. It will be a 2 or 3 year process.
The phone number, 677-2760, 677-2760. Facebook and Twitter, how has the social media movement impacted this disaster and particularly the recovery from it for your communities? How do you
It's been very effective. On one hand, I can recall being out in one of the neighborhoods, and there was a gentleman that had an antique boat in a garage that completely collapsed, and he was looking for heavy equipment. And I went to another neighborhood, and I just mentioned it. Well, within a very short period of time, somebody ran up to me, a volunteer, and they said, we'll get that help. And they went on Facebook, and within minutes, they had people, and they had a congregation of 25 to 30 folks that went over to help them. Now, that's the good part. the not-so-good part are the different rumors and different tragedies and information that wasn't reliable that people were very much alarmed about.
We have a phone call. We have someone, don't know exactly who it is, but we are ready to go to the phone at this moment. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there? Okay. Mayor Barrett, do you want to address the concept of Facebook, Twitter, social media, and how that's impacted the recovery in your community?
It's interesting. Our police department from day one has a Facebook page. So the Pekin Police Department is out there.
Yes.
It's very proactive, and it was extremely helpful during this event because people could go immediately to it and see what streets were a problem, where to go to find whatever they needed to look for, the curfew times. It was just it's interesting. I've said this many times. What Facebook started out as, it's the unintended consequence of it, and this is the good side to Facebook.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Because it reaches everybody. And I can remember being the night of the tornado, and we were without power at our house for a couple of days. And what's interesting, it was surreal because we had candles on the table, but my iPad was on. and I could get on Facebook.
Perfect.
And I'm thinking, this is an Apple ad waiting to happen. But truthfully, that transcended across the entire community for anybody who could use that.
And that brings up another point. And if you just tuned in, this is Rebuilding in Central Illinois. We're joined with East Peoria Mayor Dave Mingus as well as Pekin Mayor Lori Barra. Give us a call, 309-677-2760. Also email us at wcbunews@bradley.edu and also find us on Facebook as well. Mayor Mingus, you mentioned, you know, so many volunteers coming in. Obviously, Washington saw that as well. And Mayor Barra talking about in your communities, is there anything that either of your communities would do differently? Not differently like, you know, something was wrong, but just no one can really prepare for something. Is there anything that the councils are looking at or anything next time, either more XYZ that maybe wasn't there before? Is there any changes or anything that you think just generally could be there, Mayor Mingus?
I think we'll go back and reexamine everything we did, kind of a debriefing just to see if we could have done things more effective, what worked, what didn't work.
Sure.
We've not hit that phase yet, quite honestly, but we're prepared to do that.
Sure. So something in the future.
Yeah, so much of it is just responding, and you always it's really nice to get beyond the response part of the disaster where you can anticipate some things, but you just can't determine what's going to come your way.
Right, absolutely. And I'd imagine the same thing, Mayor Barra, for you as well, is that both your communities are dealing with so much right now that you just have to take it as it comes.
We actually had a debriefing meeting about a month ago, and we included the police, the fire, street department, any department within the city, even the secretaries that man the phones. And we did have a meeting, went through, we have about 3 pages of things that need to be tweaked or need to be addressed, things that we can add on. I think that as a community, you hope that there is never a time in the future that you would ever have to use anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that you can be truly, really specific about things because times change, people change,
right. You
know, disasters change. So, but yes, we have addressed it and we've got some good ideas going.
Well, if you just tuned in, this is Rebuilding in Central Illinois. Again, that phone number is 309-677-2760. And you can also email us at wcbunews@bradley.edu.
The Red Cross, the Wednesday after the tornado hit, WTVP and all the TV stations in this area gathered up. WCBU, Alex and I participated in the telethon that happened after that. A lot of money was raised for Red Cross that night to get to the people of the disaster. Have the people in your communities who needed to access some additional capital or some additional resources, have they been able to get to them either through the Red Cross or other means?
As far as I know, whatever has been available has been made available to those who need it. Not sadly, but the truth of the matter is that, and I know Mayor Mingus, we've talked about this, people are very proud
Yes.
These are very proud communities, very proud
people. Midwestern
people. And, you know, and one instance that we had on one street, that they came to him, the Red Cross, and he said, no, you need to go across the street because they need it more than we do.
Oh.
And everybody in this disaster is a victim. Everybody that was affected is a victim, and they need to understand that they are, you know, they are entitled to help if they need it.
There was some of that happened with FEMA, too, right? FEMA funding. Don't need to register. Somebody else is going to need that funding more than I do. There were those thoughts, processes taking place for some people as well.
And we can't stress that enough currently. We still have many people out there that have not registered for FEMA and got their 8-digit number. And the deadline is going to be the 27th of January.
Right.
And many of them who think that their insurance are going to pay, there's going to be other means to assist them, may not be there. They really need to register, and the response has not been as great as what we would hope it would be.
Yeah. People under the heading of can't hurt, might help, even if you think that you are the last person who needs to register for FEMA and you've been impacted by the tornado, you're probably exactly the person who still needs to do that, right?
Well, people consider the Red Cross, Salvation Army, FEMA's welfare, and that's a stigma for a lot of these folks, but the fact is that when you're down out and you need these services, that we want them, that's what they're there for, to help them get back on their feet.
Mm-hmm. Let's speak to that for a moment, because Mayor Mingus, you can play sort of a dual role with us today for your community and all who have been impacted by the devastation that tore through the state on November 27th. You happen to work in your day job as the executive director of the Tazewell-Woodford County Mental Health Association. You guys have put together a program.
Actually, the program is a program that's funded through FEMA and the Division of Mental Health, Illinois State Division of Mental Health. And it puts crisis volunteers out on the street to really check on the folks, direct them to resources. And the secondary factor is to have an educational component, or shall we say a component that creates awareness, because disaster doesn't, we don't feel the effects totally right away.
Oftentimes it can be 2 months after.
It can be several months after. And we need to have people prepared to know the symptoms and the signs before it manifests itself into a proportion where they're impaired in their daily lives.
Largely, we're talking about PTSD.
That's correct.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
And what folks don't realize, it's kind of a cumulative thing where the stress of the actual disaster is one thing, but then children, disease, deaths, landlords who are charging too much money, they think, and all these compounding factors play a role in one's mental health. And there's a time when just to go out and find that confidential source that is one step or two steps beyond a friendship. They're trained to therapeutically help that person deal with their thoughts, emotions, and plan things out where they're healthy. It's a way to stay healthy.
And protect your privacy at
exactly
the same time.
Exactly correct.
Right. In a way that they're trained.
That's right.
Trained professional, yes. And that for people who have lived through something that you don't ask for and you don't mark down that's coming on your calendar, no way to schedule it, the mental impact of that can be significant psyche.
On Tuesday, we're still not testing the sirens. Because what that's going to remind people of.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Right.
Well, if you've just tuned in here, this is Rebuilding in Central Illinois. We have Dave Mingus, East Peoria Mayor, as well as Pekin Mayor Lori Barra joining us. Really quickly, just want to go, because we were asking, of course, talking with the Mayor of Washington as well, but FEMA denied public assistance recently. I know that, you know, crews in all communities were out, as Mayor Mingus, you were saying, and Mayor Barra, removing debris, working. Can you just briefly talk about need for that appeal? You know, a lot of communities say, especially hard-hit communities, but all communities, you know, rely on that public assistance because, as both of you can attest to, it is not free for the city to come in East Peoria or Pekin and remove debris. So can you just talk about going forward in the appeal process and just what that could mean, Mayor Barra?
Well, we need to go forward with the appeal process to get the public funding for FEMA. It's important that we can recoup the costs that these communities, all three communities, are going to have had in the past 2 months and will have in the future.
Okay.
Now, when they say recoup costs, the communities are still going to have a 25% payout on anything as far as the total amount. Hmm. So we're going to incur costs either way. It's just that the huge costs we're incurring now is just unsurmountable.
And those costs, as you mentioned, you know, individual assistance, and that's something that I know FEMA's addressed too, is individuals have gotten assistance approved federally, but it's the, this is the public side.
That's
that
right. You don't want to mix the two up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And people do that when they see that it's been denied. They're assuming it's personal, and it's two totally different aspects of FEMA.
Right.
Hmm. People who might need to access the community assistance portion, mental health community assistance portion, there are people on the street, but there's also some Red Cross funding out there for that. If make sure I'm accurate there.
Absolutely. There's caseworkers from the Salvation Army, Red Cross. There's a long-term recovery organization.
Let's talk about how people get to that. Do you know if somebody is listening today and they need to access it, or they think they've got a friend or family member that might benefit from getting to care like that, communication like that, do you know what's the best way to?
I think you could always call Tazewood Center for Wellness or the Human Service Center or Salvation Army or Red Cross. I think everybody, it's not a situation of territory. If they can access any one of these organizations, they're going to find services for them. I guarantee it. So it's just pick one and let them know the need, and they'll make sure they get care.
Tazewood, Red Cross,
Salvation Army,
those
OSF, Methodist. I mean, there's the long-term recovery group are certainly well informed, and they know how to access those points. That way, people don't just call one organization; they can really access it any way they want.
Okay,
and we have 800 numbers on our website for
That's
the city
correct.
Of Pekin. They can go to and look at that, or on Channel 20.
Right. We talked with Mayor Mingus and City Administrator Tim Gleason about the letter, the denial letter that people receive that is largely part of the process, right? There's a lot of paperwork that people have to gather up when they register for FEMA. If they have left out one piece of paperwork, not intentionally, of course, they can get a denial letter. Are you guys talking to people who have received the denial letter and... Because for every one person you might talk to, you have to assume that there are others behind that person who aren't speaking up. Because the recovery center at the Festival of Lights building is a place that people can go mm-hmm. and get help for that. Are you talking to people who are getting that letter? Are you hearing?
I've not heard of anybody.
I have not heard of that either.
No. Well, that's good news.
We've offered help for people that need help to get there. But I've not had one person call regarding that.
And I don't know if it's too early in the game for that to happen.
That's correct.
So.
We only have about a minute left here, but I just wanted to go to each of you really quick. Of course, if you've just been tuning in, Dave Mingus is joining us, the mayor of East Peoria, as well as Pekin Mayor Lori Barra. Just this is 2 months in. Just sitting where you sit as mayors of your respective communities, what's been the biggest surprise, or what's been the one thing that most people don't know about responding to a disaster? What is the one thing in the last 2 months that you think most people might not understand that you've seen firsthand recovering from a disaster like this, just in general, if something came up that maybe you didn't know about?
I think the you see raw emotion in people. I've seen it many times, but the magnitude and the volume of that emotion that day they lost their house was something that I had not experienced before.
Okay. Sure.
And I think to the good point, I think I was pleasantly surprised of the magnitude of help that came within not only within the community mm-hmm. but between the communities. It was overwhelming. It really was.
We're coming to the close of this portion of our program. In fact, today's live broadcast in whole, Pekin Mayor Lori Barra and East Peoria Mayor Dave Mingus, thank you for taking the time.
Thank
you very
much.
Appreciate
it.
Thank you very much.
Your websites both have information if people need
Absolutely.
To access
yes.
it.
Yes. And Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You've been listening to Rebuilding in Central Illinois, a live broadcast with Tazewell County City Leaders 60 days after the November tornadoes. Our guests for the show have been Washington Mayor Gary Menier and City Administrator Tim Gleason, as well as Pekin and East Peoria Mayors Lori Barra and Dave Mingus. Today's show was made possible with production assistance of Daryl Scott, Nathan Irwin, Denise Molina, Tom Hunt, Lisa Polnitz, and our listeners with your questions. I'm Tanya Kuntz, along with co-host Alex Rusciano. This is 89.9 HD1 WCBU Peoria Public Radio, also at peoriapublicradio.org.